Okay, let's unpack this. Take a moment and really check in with yourself. How healthy do you feel right now?
It seems like a simple question, doesn't it?
Right. But what does healthy actually mean to you? We're looking at some intro lecture material on health psychology today, and there was this poll right at the start about this, and it really showed how differently we all see it.
Yeah, and that really gets to the core of what we're diving into. We're using these lecture slides and a transcript, basically foundational stuff on health psychology.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all about understanding those connections, why we feel well, or, you know, why we get sick.
Exactly. And this isn't just like academic theory for the sake of it. Understanding these psychological influences, it can really empower you in your own health journey, right?
Absolutely. It helps make sense of how we experience illness, how we deal with healthcare. It's definitely more than just not being sick.
Way more. So these lectures, they give us a great starting point. Our mission today really is to unpack what health psychology is.
Yeah, look at how our view of the mind-body link has evolved. That's a fascinating story in itself.
Totally. And introduce this really useful model for understanding health more broadly.
Okay, so where do we start? The definition.
Let's do it. How do the lecture materials actually define health psychology?
Well, they define it as the field that looks at psychological influences on basically three things. How people stay healthy.
Okay.
Why they get ill.
Right.
And how they respond when they do get ill. It's about the whole mental and emotional side of our physical well-being.
Got it. So a really holistic view, looking beyond just the physical. And the material also mentions the World Health Organization's definition of health.
Yeah.
From 1948, which, wow.
Yeah, 1948. It's pretty amazing, actually. The key thing is how early they said health wasn't just about not being sick.
Right.
They included mental and social well-being as essential parts. That was pretty radical then.
So what was the exact wording?
They define health as a state of complete physical, mental, and social well-being, and not merely the absence of disease or infirmity.
Complete physical, mental, and social well-being. That's huge. It really sets the stage.
It really does. And the lecture notes also briefly touch on what the WHO actually does.
Oh, right. Yeah. Beyond just definitions.
Yeah. Their four main functions are basically providing global health guidance, setting global standards, collaborating with governments.
Okay.
And developing and sharing health tech and info. So they're really active in trying to improve health worldwide.
Makes sense. So within that big picture, what do health psychologists themselves like focus on day to day? What's their work involve?
The lecture breaks it down into four main areas. First, health promotion and maintenance, helping people build and keep healthy habits.
Okay, like prevention.
Exactly. Yeah. And that ties into the second point, prevention and treatment of illness, using psychological approaches.
Right.
Third, they study etiology, basically. The causes and correlates of health and illness.
Yeah.
Why do these things happen? What else is involved?
Understanding the roots.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And finally, they work on improving the healthcare system itself and influencing health policy, making it work better for people.
Okay, that's a really wide scope. It covers a lot of ground. Now, the lecture material then takes us on this historical tour, which I found fascinating, how our view of the mind-body connection has changed so much.
Oh, yeah, it's a wild ride. It starts way back with early cultures. They generally saw the mind and body as, you know, one unit.
Interconnected.
Totally. Mm-hmm. And illness,
well,
often blamed on evil spirits getting into the body.
And the treatments reflected that, right? Like trepanation.
Exactly. Drilling holes in the skull. And the lecture mentions this 3500 BC skull, a woman's skull, that showed signs of healing after trepanation.
Incredible. It just shows how strong that belief was connecting the physical and, well, the supernatural.
Definitely. Then you move to the ancient Greeks. They brought in the humoral theory.
Yes, the four humors. Blood, black bile, yellow bile, phlegm.
Right. Health meant keeping those in balance.
Mm-hmm.
Illness was caused by an imbalance. And they even linked the dominant humor to personality types.
The phlegmatic, choleric, sanguine, melancholic types. It's interesting. They were trying to find a physical basis for personality, sort of.
Yeah, even though their biology was off, the core idea was still that mind and body were linked somehow.
Okay, so after the Greeks?
Well, the Middle Ages saw a bit of a swing back towards supernatural explanations.
Really? Back to evil forces.
Yeah, disease was often attributed to that again. And the lecture mentions some pretty harsh ritualistic practices tied to it. Religion had a huge influence then.
So priests often took on healing roles.
Mm-hmm. And your health was kind of seen as linked to your faith.
Yeah.
Scientific understanding sort of took a backseat for a while.
It sounds like it, but then the Renaissance happened.
Big changes then. You get major advances in technology like Leeuwenhoek improving the microscope.
Right, seeing things up close.
And Morgagna really pushing autopsy, understanding the body post-mortem. This allowed for a much closer look at disease.
And that led away from the humoral theory.
Yeah, because now they could see changes at the cellular level. Cellular pathology. It wasn't about vague fluid imbalances anymore, it was about cells.
And this is where Descartes comes in, with mind-body dualism.
Exactly. René Descartes. Big shift. He proposed that the mind, this non-physical thinking thing, was totally separate from the physical body.
Which raises the obvious question.
How do they interact?
Right. If they're completely different substances, how does the mind tell the body to move? Or how does the body send signals to the mind?
That was the big challenge for dualism. The lecture notes mention his ideas about the pineal gland being the connection point, and that example of pulling your foot away from fire attempts to bridge that gap.
But it was a tough sell, that separation.
It was, and things started moving away from that strict separation again. Freud was a key figure here.
With conversion hysteria.
Yeah. Freud suggested that deep psychological conflicts could be, well, converted into actual physical symptoms, like paralysis or blindness, with no apparent physical cause.
So the mind directly causing physical problems. That example of anxiety leading to physical symptoms, and then the symptoms vanishing when the anxiety is dealt with, that really highlights the connection Freud was seeing.
Exactly. It's like the body expressing what the mind couldn't. This opened the door to psychosomatic medicine.
Okay, psychosomatic. So looking at how psychological issues could cause or worsen actual bodily disorders, ulcers, hypertension, things like that.
Right. And the idea started cropping up.
Yeah.
Are some people sort of disease prone because of their psychology?
Interesting question. Which leads us closer to the present with behavioral medicine emerging in the 70s.
Yeah, 1973. That was a really important step. Behavioral medicine formally brought together behavioral sciences like psychology with biomedical sciences.
So a true interdisciplinary field.
Exactly. Focused on understanding physical health through prevention, diagnosis, treatment, rehabilitation, acknowledging that our behavior is massively important for our physical health.
Which brings us pretty much up to date. And this idea of the biopsychosocial model.
The BPS model. Yeah. This is really the current dominant view. Or at least the ideal one.
And the lecture really stresses how our physical health isn't just biology. It's tied up with our psychology and our social world.
Totally. It looks at personal stuff like your diet, exercise, smoking, drinking, but also the bigger picture.
Like culture, socioeconomic status, whether you can even get healthcare.
All of it. It's a much wider lens.
So let's contrast that directly with the older biomedical model. What's the fundamental difference?
Okay, so the BPS model, the biopsychosocial one, sees health and illness as the result of this dynamic interplay between biological factors, psychological factors, and social factors.
Interplay is the key word.
Definitely. What happens on a macro level, like depression or social support, affects the micro level, like chemicals in your brain or cellular stuff, and vice versa. It's all connected.
And health isn't static in this view, right?
Not at all. It's constantly changing. A process. It uses systems theory. All levels are linked and influence each other.
Okay, so that's BPS. What about the biomedical model it's often compared to?
The biomedical model tends to focus primarily on the biological side. Disease comes from pathogens, genetic defects, injuries, basically biochemical or neurophysiological problems.
And psychological and social factors?
Often seen as separate or secondary. Less influential on the core disease process itself. It looks for a specific physical cause.
The lecture really drove home the clinical benefits of using the BPS model, though.
Oh, absolutely. When you consider all three factors, bio, psycho, social, AUKUST, you're more likely to get the diagnosis right.
Makes sense.
And treatment can be tailored. It might involve a team approach, doctors, therapists, social workers, perhaps.
Right, not just prescribing a pill.
And
it helps the relationship between the patient and the practitioner, too, presumably.
Yeah, because the patient feels seen as a whole person, not just a collection of symptoms. The lecture used that diarrhea example.
Ah, yes. Tell us about that.
So a purely biomedical approach might just be, okay, here are some antibiotics for a possible infection. End of story.
Right. Treat the bug.
But a BPS approach would ask more questions. Are you under a lot of stress? How's your support system? Maybe there's anxiety contributing. So alongside any necessary meds, They might suggest therapy, stress management, lifestyle changes.
Treating the whole situation, not just the gut. You know, thinking about doctor visits, sometimes it does feel very biomedical, doesn't it?
It often does. And it was interesting that the lecture mentioned the BPS model is actually relatively new in terms of being formally integrated into medical training.
Ah, okay. So that might explain why the practice hasn't fully caught up with the model everywhere yet.
Could be, yeah. Change takes time.
But it really seems like addressing the whole person leads to better health outcomes.
That's the argument, definitely.
Huh.
And the lecture finished by highlighting why health psychology is so important now, especially in places like Canada.
Because the types of illnesses have changed.
Exactly. We've shifted from infectious acute diseases being the main killers to chronic illnesses. Mm. Things like cancer, heart disease, diabetes.
And those are often heavily linked to lifestyle, right? Mm. Behaviors.
Precisely.
Yeah.
Smoking, diet, exercise, stress management. These psychological and behavioral factors are huge drivers of today's major health problems.
Mm-hmm.
So understanding them is critical.
Which brings us right back to the beginning, really. The big takeaway here is that health is, well, it's complicated.
Yeah, that's one way to put it.
It's this really complex dance between our biology, our minds, and our social world. Understanding those links is just crucial for well-being.
And remembering, it's not a destination you arrive at, right? Mm-hmm. Health isn't static. The lecture said, the healthy state is not the steady state. It's an ongoing process.
A continuous balancing act
mm-hmm.
within that whole complex system.
So as you're thinking about your own health after listening to this deep dive, maybe consider this.
Mm.
If health is this dynamic process, always influenced by your biology, your thoughts and feelings, your relationships, your environment, how might your idea of what it means to be healthy need to shift or evolve?
Yeah, moving beyond just not sick. Exactly. And what small proactive steps could you take really thinking about that mind-body social connection towards a more holistic and maybe more resilient sense of well-being? Definitely some food for thought there.